for us to serve you. This message is entitled, All That I Have Is Yours. In the heart of every believer, underneath that flesh that wants to control us, is a cry to our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ that sounds like this, All that I have is yours. It is the same message our Father has said to us, All that I have is yours. Knowing this, as well as knowing who we are as sons of God, will literally affect every part of our lives. I hope this message will bless you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening. I just thank God for a great evening tonight of teaching, and I believe that Holy Ghost is going to minister to your hearts, and the Word is going to gain understanding inside of you, and I'm excited about that. I hope that you are too. So let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to teach, to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that hungry hearts are listening and ready to receive, and I thank you for the Holy Ghost who is going to bring the understanding into our hearts. It's going to unlock the mysteries so that we're able to benefit from these words, these truths, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you so much for the gift that you've given us. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for teaching us tonight. I come against the powers of darkness that would try to bring any distractions or disturbances. I arrest you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful time of teaching in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking out of Luke chapter 14 and out of Ephesians chapter 4. This evening we're gonna go back to Luke, and we're not going specifically to chapter 14. We're really gonna set our sights on a parable that Jesus taught the people in Luke 19. Sometimes it helps if we go back and we kind of get a running start up to these parables to try and get some better understanding of what's being said. Now, we want to look at different verses leading up to chapter 19. We're going to discover the mind of the Lord in these verses. So let's begin, if you have your Bibles and you can turn with me, in Luke. We'll be in Luke all evening for this entire hour. So the first verse that we're going to look at, you can tell I've got quite a few marks here, in Luke 6, verse 24. And here's a verse that people could look at, and they could just take that one verse and get a whole understanding that isn't really correct. And here's the verse. Jesus is speaking here. And Jesus says, but woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Well, we could just shut our Bibles right there and come to the conclusion, Jesus doesn't want anybody to be rich. Well, and I think, unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. They look at that, and instead of looking at the whole flow, looking at what Luke wrote beyond just even that chapter, but in the following chapters, and seeing how it sets in the entire book of Luke, they just look at that one verse and say, well, we'll just shut our Bibles right there. You're not supposed to have any money. Well, it's real hard to spread the gospel without any money. It's real hard to live in this world without any money. And God's not opposed to money. What he's opposed to is when money has us, and that's what we're gonna find out as we go through this. And the scripture that he helped me to really have a good, firm grasp on the position that he has with money, and so I can relate that to you, is later on in Luke. So So with that in mind, turn to chapter 15, and we'll come back and we'll go through some of these other chapters. Go back to, or if you would, turn with me to chapter 15, and this is the parable of the prodigal son. Now, if you remember the parable of the prodigal son was the one that asked for his portion of the inheritance. He received it, then he left, and he went and he squandered it. He spent it on riotous living, and he had a real bad way. And then he came to himself, and he decided that it was better for him to just be a servant in his father's house and to go back and to tell his father, look, you know, don't consider me your son anymore. Just consider me your servant. Well, his father wouldn't have any of that. He put on the finest robe, put a ring on his finger, and he had a big party. But what we want to look at, particularly tonight, in the light of what I read in that first verse about woe unto the rich, what I want to look at is what he said to the elder son, okay? And think about that this is a parable speaking particularly about the Father God and us as his sons, all right? But look at what he said here. We're going to pick this up in verse 29 of chapter 15. And he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. He's got an idea that it's about what he does. See, he's a son in the king in his father's family, but he's got this thing backwards. He's thinking it's about his actions instead of who he is as a son. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. So here again, he's basing it on his actions instead of the fact that he's a son. And yet thou never, now listen to this, thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. See where we're reading this at is the younger son came home, and instead of being happy that the younger son, who had went out and done the riotous living, instead of being happy that he came back to the family, in other words, someone repented and came back to the family of God, instead of being happy about that, this older brother, he was upset about it. He was aggravated about it. And he basically told the father, hey, I've been here all the time. Nobody's been throwing any parties for me. And sour grapes, that I might make merry with my friends. That's in verse 29, in verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. So I want you to think about this. That younger son, this man's younger brother, the picture here, as this prodigal is out and he's away from the family, is a picture of someone that's walked away from Jesus. And now this man has come to himself and he's come back to Jesus. So shouldn't we be happy about that? Shouldn't we be overjoyed that this one had come home? Well, this man, this older brother, he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy because his claim to his father was, look, you've never treated me like this. Now here's where the answer to the question that I first had when I read woe unto the rich, this is where it got answered right here in the answer that the father gave. Here's what the father said. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, that right there, that's the part. That's the part that we don't appreciate. He said, you know, Jesus said back in chapter 6 in verse 24, woe unto the rich. But here what we're finding out is that what the Father has, it belongs to me. It's mine. So to think that God is against us having things, well, that can't be right. Because here he's telling us, he's showing us through this account of this prodigal son and this elder brother, he's telling us, look, elder brother, all that I have, it's always been yours. It's always been yours. So thinking about that and then going back to chapter 6, to think that God doesn't want us to have anything. No, that's not the case at all. But it's that position in our hearts that those things take. That's the issue. See, that's the issue. And that's the thing that we need to understand as we go up to trying to unlock this parable in chapter 19 of Luke. So we want to go back and we want to get a little bit more information from the first part of Luke. But let me finish up with this one verse. Verse 32, where the father is still speaking. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead. He was dead, and he's alive again, and was lost and is found. That's so important right there. This brother was dead. He had gone back in the world and was dead, but thank God he came to the Father and is alive again. Thank God for that. But so this part right here where I'm wanting to draw your attention in 15th chapter of Luke is where we find out that all that the Father has is ours. So he certainly isn't about us having things. So with that in mind, let's turn back. We're going to go to Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And what we're doing now is we're trying to get a flavor as we go through these different chapters leading up to chapter 19. We want to get a flavor for how God feels about us having things and what we have to keep in mind as far as what having things is really about. So verse 23, And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now here again, we're looking at verse 25, trying to get this understanding of how we're supposed to look at personal gain. How's that? For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and loses himself or becomes a castaway? So, we have all that the Father has. It belongs to us. But what we have to keep in mind is that it is about us laying our lives down. For what reason? For service to the kingdom. And you might say, well, is that for everybody, Mark? It really is for everybody. There really isn't, a group of people that get a pass on this, that, you know, they don't have to lay down their life, that they can just pray the prayer of salvation, accept Jesus, and then continue to live how they want to live. See, that I think is a fundamental misconception that I believe religion, quote unquote religion, kind of perpetrates, that you can just pray this prayer and you don't have to do any of this denying of yourself, which is what he says in verse 20. You don't really have to deny yourself. You can indulge yourself and it'll be okay. And yet this book of Luke, particularly the book of Luke, is chocked full of statements about not putting yourself first, but putting yourself last. Not taking the higher seat, but taking the lower seat. It's full of it, from the beginning of it to the end of it. It's repetitive. Those verses, they say those verses are stated several different ways, but the essence is still the same. That this is about coming to the kingdom and laying everything down, denying yourself, and taking up your cross. Now, it's hard to envision somebody taking up their cross and yet being able to do just whatever they want to do, because those two don't fit in the same world. When you take up your cross, you're dying to those things inside of your flesh that want to be taken care of, that want to be gratified. You're dying to those things. So what you're living to is you're living to that calling that he's called you to. You are reinforcing that. You're growing and developing spiritually. You're laying down the things that want to go the way of the world. And you're picking up the part of you, the real you, that's born again, that has his nature, that wants to fulfill the call of God on your life. So in denying yourself, you're not denying that spirit, the real person that you are. What you're denying is that part of you that really is the part that should be being put to death, that outer man, that flesh. That's the part you're saying no to. And when he says right here, again, I'm going to read this in verse 25, what is a man advantage if he gains the whole world and lose himself? We live in a society that this verse fits so many people, that they're losing themselves in the things that they can acquire. And again, as I said earlier from Luke 15, we can see that God's not against us having things, but what he is against is those things dominating our life to the point that that's what we're living for. That we're not living for the kingdom. And that's going to be one of the next things that we're going to see. So let's turn over to chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Luke. And we're going to begin reading in verse 15. And he said unto them, now see, watch what we're going to say right here. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. See, what I'm showing you is, as we're traveling through these chapters, you can hear that theme that's being echoed from one chapter to the next. You can hear that. You can hear what he's trying to say. That, I'm going to read that verse again. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes into a parable, and I'm just going to read this one because this isn't the one that we really want to focus on tonight, but this one helps us to understand the other one. Okay, so this is in verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man, I should read the whole verse, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? So what was his big concern? His big concern was really about himself. It was about storing up for himself of the wealth of the proceeds of his crop. Verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. Well, you know, to the world's thinking, and here's the point that I want to make on this parable. To the world's thinking, that makes sense, doesn't it? You have a good crop, you have a bumper crop, and the mentality that the world has is, hey, build some bigger barns. That's what you need. And so what the focus is, now don't miss this, because we're not saying here that if you're a farmer, that you shouldn't build bigger barns. That's not the issue. The focus is that this man had no thought whatsoever about doing anything else with all of that extra abundance except building a bigger barn so he could store it for himself. And again, like we said in chapter 15, God's not against us having things. But what he's against is whenever those things they consume our life. And our whole life is about building bigger barns. And our whole life is about all that we can accumulate for ourselves. See, that's not what this is about. When I say this, what I'm talking about is that's not what being a member of this kingdom is about. It's about having the heart of a servant, that no matter what position that you occupy in this body, that you understand that there is a heart of a servant that we should each one have. And that servant's heart is not about building a bigger barn for myself. It's about what portion of this should be for the kingdom. See, this man wasn't thinking about that at all. He was accumulating all of this wealth, and he was amassing it and looking for greater storage of it so that he could expend it on himself later. And the heart of a servant wants to be useful in what the master wants to do. And in this kingdom, what the master wants, he wants the population of his family to increase. And he wants us to have a part in that, to play a part in it, to not look at our own selves and our eyes on our own selves. See, the woe unto the rich man that we saw back in Luke 6, 24, that woe was to the rich man whose motive was all about personal gain. See, that's it right there. Personal gain with no thought whatsoever of having a heart of a servant and what portion of this belongs to the kingdom. All right. And he said, verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that laid up treasure for himself, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, notice that, and is not rich toward God. The person whose motivation is only for personal gain, see, that person is not appreciating their place in this body. It's as simple as that. And he goes on, and we're not going to be able to read all of chapter 12. We're just going to hit a couple of verses. But this is where he talks about in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, taking no thought for your life, it doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to be foolhardy and somebody's going to take care of me tomorrow. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it also doesn't mean that you spend your life accumulating things for yourself. You see, that's where people miss that when they look at this verse. And it's simply because they haven't read the rest of what Luke was saying leading up to these verses. It's not about being foolhardy and just expecting to, I'm just going to, you know, sit on my behind and do nothing and somebody will take care of me. Well, that's, you know, that's the way the world thinks, not the people in this kingdom. We're not to think that way. But we're also not to think that my life is about amassing wealth for myself, accumulating for myself with no thought for my obligation or my responsibility as a member of this body, what he wants me to do with this. It can't just be about amassing the wealth for ourselves. Can't say it better than that. And so he you know, you have verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns. God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? All he's saying here is that don't be all consumed and all worried and upset about what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, the clothes. If you look at verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, nor they spin not. And yet I say unto you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 28, if then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 29, and seek not you what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Verse 31, and this is an important verse. But rather seek you the kingdom of God. In one of the other gospels says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You have God's promise that if you will spend your life seeking the kingdom, see, not seeking for building the bigger barns for yourself. See, that's where it's about the heart. It's about the motivation of the heart. Are you so focused on yourself and building your own bigger barn that you have no thought about seeking the kingdom? See, we're only here for this short, oh my goodness, short period of time. Even if you live to be 120 years old, that's short. That's like a blip on the screen when you think about all of eternity. See, one day we're going to leave this planet. And if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you'll spend eternity with him. Eternity. You'll spend forever. See, in the light of that forever, this 120 years, 100 years, 80 years, however long you can believe, this is only a little blip, just a dot on the screen compared to eternity. And how we spend this, are we going to spend it seeking first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and knowing that all these things, what things? Well, clothes, food, all of those things that the world is so consumed with thinking about, worrying about, fretting about all the time. See, when you know who you are, when you know that you are a son of God and your Father owns everything, and he looks at you and he says, everything that I have is yours. Where is the need? There is no need. And you say, well, Mark, you haven't seen my cabinets. They're empty. It's only because we don't know who we are. That's as simple as that. We just simply don't know who we are. We are sons of the living God. God is our Father. He's our Father. We have been born into the family of God. And he said to us, all that I have is yours. You have no need. What you have is a lack of understanding of who you are. But you have no need. Did you get that? You have no need. What you have is a lack of understanding of who you are. And that lack of understanding, if you let it, it will drive you to want to make bigger barns, to store up. Because why would you want to do that? Because I can't trust God to provide for me tomorrow. See, that? No, that's God will provide for you tomorrow. He's already said, all that I have is yours. So tomorrow's taken care of. The rest of your life is taken care of. Now, again, I'm not saying that it doesn't require you to follow Him. And in following Him, there's a job to be done, whether it's a secular job or whether it's a ministry job. But there's a job. I mean, Jesus isn't about laziness. I can assure you of that. It is not about being lazy. It's not about sitting around and just expecting the birds to come feed us. Oh, give me a break. That's not it. It's about being busy with what He has directed you to do. If He's directed you into a secular job, you do that job. If you know you've got a call on your life, you do that job until He releases you into your calling, until you have grown and developed by doing what? By meditating His Word, by praying in tongues, because you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you're praying in tongues, you're meditating His Word, you're confessing His Word, you're confessing that my God shall supply all of my needs. Until that reality of that settles inside of you and you know that He can send you wherever He needs to send you. If you have a ministry calling, He can send you into the world to minister, and you know that your Father, He's going to provide for you. See, that's what He called us to do, and that was what had to be worked inside of me. I had to come to that place by meditating His Word, by speaking His Word, by having that Word coming out of my mouth till the point that it was settled in my heart, my Father, He will not fail me. And I'm telling you what, the other day, He reinforced that on the inside of me. I'm going to deviate just a little bit because he's kind of directing me this way. It's all the way back in the book of Joshua. He brought this scripture. It seemed like He just illuminated this to my heart, like in a way that I have never experienced. And I hope for you listening that He will do the same. But I was looking at Joshua chapter 1. This is back in the Old Testament. And in Joshua chapter 1, God is speaking to Joshua. And this is following the death of Moses. And Joshua is taking over the lead of the children of Israel. And God is promising him in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. And I'm telling you what, when I read those words, it was like they were resonating on the inside of me. It was such power. It was like I was hearing God saying this to me. I will not fail you, Mark. These words were like they were illuminated to my spirit. I will not fail you, Mark. And God's saying that to you. If you will believe, if you can believe, there's nothing that He cannot accomplish on your behalf, because it's already done. It's simply a matter of believing and receiving it by faith. That's all that it is, because it's already accomplished. Whatever it is, if it's a physical need, if it's a financial need, it's done, because he's already given it to us when we were adopted into his family, when we were born again and the spirit of adoption, we became sons of God. The wealth, the everything became ours. But it's a matter of us believing who we really are. Sons of God. Praise God. That's in knowing that he will not fail. In the last part of that verse, he'll not fail us nor forsake thee. Never. He'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. Don't ever think that God could ever fail you, because he cannot. If you will stand on his word and his word alone, he'll not fail you. Ever. So let's go back to Luke. We're going to finish this in verse 12. Seek you first, verse 31 again, but rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now look at verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, that's the issue. That's the issue. What is where your treasure is? Is your treasure in these earthly things? Or is your treasure in that relationship with your Father? Is your treasure in the spiritual things? Is that where your treasure is? Is your treasure in people, in helping to fund the increase of God's family, seeing people born again? Is that where your treasure is? Seeing lives changed because you have fallen in love with Jesus, because your Father, you know your Father, you fellowship with him. What is important to him has become important to you. You see, that's where all the difference is right there. So it's, again, I'm going to state this again. The woe to the rich man, back in chapter 6, it was a warning to the person whose heart, whose treasure is in the things that they accumulate around them. It's their personal gain. It's when their focus, their heart motivation is on personally enriching themselves and not being rich to the kingdom. And again, it doesn't mean that there's nothing for us to enjoy our time here, but that enjoying of our time here can't be that it consumes our whole life. You see, going back once again in chapter 15 to when the father spoke to the elder brother, he said, all of this was yours all the time. You could have had a party for your friends, but see, the older brother, he didn't know that, because he had not developed that relationship with his father. And if he had, he would have known what was important to the father. If he really had a love developed there, a love relationship, he would have known that it wasn't about all the time that elder brother spent working in the field. You know, that wasn't what the father was really interested in. That father, you can tell what the father was interested in, because when it talks about the younger son coming in, he saw him from a long way off. So that father, he wasn't all thinking about the elder brother and all that he was doing in the field. His attention was on seeing that younger son come back to the fold, come back to the family. That's where his attention was. But the older brother didn't know that because he had never developed a relationship with his own dad, his own father. See, that's what we have to have. When we have that relationship with our Father, we're going to know that the treasure is in the people. It's in the family. It's in seeing the wayward sons come back to the kingdom. It's in seeing the lost that's never been saved come to the kingdom. And it's about being willing to give of our substance to see the work of the kingdom progressing. And realizing that it's not going, I'm not saying give everything that you have, by no means. But that our focus, that it's not on our personal wealth and seeing our own kingdom, our own financial kingdom develop and not doing anything for the kingdom of God. All right, so having said all of that, we're going to go to the parable. And the parable is in Luke 19. I believe we've established with enough of the verses leading up to this what's important. Luke laid it out, and he continued to lay it out about the first being last and the last being first, about how we are to take that lower seat. And he went through that time and time again coming into this chapter. So here's the parable. And again, this is not one of the easy parables. Parable is in Luke 19. It's beginning in verse 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. So each of them got a pound. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens, the citizens of this place, they hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's the heart of every person that has not made Jesus Lord of their life. That rebellious spirit, that is exactly what that's the picture of. Verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money. So now here, what are we talking about? We're talking about money. Money to do transactions. Well, keep that in mind. Now, keep in mind, this is a parable. So what we want to understand, what is the message that this parable is trying to teach us? All right, so he delivered money to these men. Each one of them got a pound, and they were to trade. He said to occupy till he comes. And then he, into verse 15, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So that was what, in this parable, what this is based on is that they're doing transactions, business, trading. All right, so then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. So the first one did really good, and his pound gained 10 pounds. And so as his reward, now look at his reward. His reward for gaining the 10 pounds, and because it says, because you're faithful in a very little, thou hast authority over 10 cities. So here's what I want you to, I believe the Holy Ghost is wanting us to see here. Because he was faithful in this little amount, because he was faithful to trade in this, what this accomplished for him was a higher level of service. He was placed over 10 cities. But it's 10 cities that he's it's a higher level of a job. You're to rule over these 10 cities. That's the job, the higher level of service. So as you qualify on these lower levels, see, this goes back to taking the lower seat, which we saw back in Luke 14, taking the lower seat. As you qualify and show yourself faithful at that level, seeing these two parables are going together. Can you see that? What that does is that enables him to come and say, come up higher. I'm going to promote you to this higher level of service. You're over 10 cities now. But see, it's a job. It's a place where he's serving. Right? And then the same thing holds true for the one that gained 5 pounds. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So as we qualify in faithfulness over what? Over a very little bit. And we take that little bit and we show ourselves faithful over it, and it produces increase for what? For the kingdom. And you might say, well, what's going to happen? How are we going to get taken care of? Well, we already read that. We already read that back here where he said in chapter 12, where he said, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life. He's going to take care of you. See, that's where the problem is. He's wanting us to be busy about serving him, and all the while, our mind is about serving ourselves. And that's what this parable is about. See, the person that took that little bit and he went and traded and he increased the kingdom to tenfold, he was promoted to higher levels of service. The one that gained 5, he was promoted again to over 5 cities. So he was promoted. See, the thought in their mind wasn't about, I'm not going to do this. I'm too concerned about my own life. See, these people were actively involved in fulfilling their responsibility to the person that they were responsible to. This, in this case, this man was called a certain nobleman. All right. So, in our case, we're responding to Jesus. We're responsible to Him and the Father. And so, as we are faithful in what He gives us to do, and we show ourselves faithful, no matter how small it is. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about how small it is. Don't worry about that. You show yourself to be faithful at whatever level that you're at, and know that when He sees what you've done with that little bit, and that you've done it for the kingdom, and that you're not consumed with thinking about yourself, He's going to reward you with promoting you to a higher level of responsibility, a higher level of service. So let's go here and look at the last person. So we saw the first two. And another came saying, verse 20, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Now this guy didn't do anything with it. And, you know, you had the first two. They were actively involved in doing what they knew to do. And they saw the increase. And the increase was for the nobleman. This guy didn't do anything. He did nothing with it. And he kept it. And he said to the nobleman, read it again. Here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Now here's the reason. For I feared thee, verse 21, because thou art an austere man. Now look at this reason. Thou takest up that thou layest not down. You take up what you don't lay down. In other words, you're not doing anything in this. You're expecting me to do it. You are taking up where you haven't laid down. And then he says, and you reap what you did not sow. This guy is saying, because you're reaping the benefits from my efforts. In other words, because I'm not able to enrich myself, I'm not interested in serving you. Here, take this back. I didn't do anything with it. I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing with it. Because I'm only interested in enriching myself. You wanted me to do this for you. And I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Now, does that sound like maybe the mentality of the world? Well, certainly it does. If it doesn't enrich them, they're not interested in doing any of it. Well, we as the body of Christ cannot be guilty of having that same mentality. We have to be willing to serve Him, knowing that He's our Father first, and He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. Our serving is not directly related to our own provision. Did you get that? Because that's good right there. Your service in the kingdom is not directly related to your provision. Your provision is guaranteed. It's guaranteed. He said, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you because you're my child. What father wouldn't do that? Our Father, He's awesome. And He said, I'll take care of all of that. That's not what this is about. This is about us being willing to serve Him at whatever level that He has placed us to serve Him with whatever He gives us, and being happy with that and content and doing the whatever that is and doing it faithfully. Because when He comes back and He says, oh look, you've taken this little bit and you've gained because of your faithfulness, because you weren't thinking about how to enrich yourself. You were thinking about the kingdom, knowing that I would always take care of you. God, our Father, will always take care of us. It's the fact that we can't allow ourselves to think that this is about us enriching ourselves. Like this man right here who said, I don't see any gain for me, so I'm not doing this for you. I'm not doing what you have called me to do because it doesn't enrich me. Oh boy. I hope you got that, because that's strong. And this isn't me commentating on anything. This is me reading these verses. For I fear, verse 21, I fear thee because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest thou that did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? At least you could have done something with it, just something. But no, you did absolutely nothing with it. And so he said, verse 24, he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. So he said, take it from this guy. He's unfaithful. Give it to the man that's faithful. That man took the pound and he gained 10 pounds with 1 pound. You give it to him. And he said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Verse 26, for I say unto you that unto everyone which has shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken from him. What is it that he has? He has the heart of a servant. He has that heart, that faithfulness to serve, to do, and not to be all consumed with his own personal gain. The faithful servant had the heart of a servant. The other man did not have that heart. So we're coming close here to the end. Well, let me finish this 27th verse of this parable. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, he's not talking about the one unfaithful servant. He's talking about going back to the first part of the parable, verse 14, the citizens that hated him. Those were the ones that he said to bring them here and to slay them. So don't get confused on that. You know, that those were the ones that got slain. So what we've done tonight is we've looked through the book of Luke, and we have seen the verses, the different verses leading up to this parable. We've seen that how Luke laid this out. Well, actually, the Holy Ghost through Luke, how he laid this out, building till we got to this parable. And now we can understand the essence of what's being said here. And we can understand that
God's not opposed to us having things.
You know, that's not it. You have not because you ask not. And you ask amiss because you want to spend it on your own lust. That's where our problems are. Whenever we do ask, it's because we have our priorities all messed up. Priority is seek first the kingdom. If you have that priority, and see, that was what Luke said early on. If you have that priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you seek it first, you have your priority set. And if in doing that, your treasure is not on this earth. You're not treasuring the things of this natural world, which is just for a little moment of time. So I hope you receive something from that message. Let me pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that these words sink into their hearts. And Holy Ghost, I pray that you will bring the understanding of them in this parable so that we can have the right priorities and that we can seek first the kingdom, not our kingdom, but the kingdom, knowing that you'll provide for us and that you will meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that blessed you. We will see you again next Thursday evening. Be blessed.
Hi, this is Mark. I hope that you enjoyed that message. For more information about our ministry, you can write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170. Or you can contact us via the internet at www.markjenkinsministries.org. Just look for the contact page. Thank you so much for listening to this message, and be blessed.